A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture.
Grace and peace of our brother and teacher and Lord Jesus be with you not just this day, but all of your days. All right, people, listen up. Sheep, over here to my right. Goats, to my left. Got it? Sheep, to my right. Goats, to my left. You sheep, you are on my right because you were righteous, because you were morally and ethically and spiritually just and compassionate, especially to people who were hungry or thirsty or who needed clothing or who were strangers or who were sick. You were righteous to them. And so you are on my right. You are in the kingdom of God. You are in that state of union with God and God's ways. So congratulations. However, you goats, you are on my left because you are left out. You are left out of that kingdom of God because you didn't feed the hungry. You didn't clothe the naked. You didn't care for the sick. You didn't welcome the stranger. You weren't righteous. So you are on my left, and you goats are out. So, any questions? Yes, I have one. What about the geep and the shoats? Where do they go? Where do I go? Where do we go? You see that cute little guy in the back of your bulletin? Or gal, I'm not sure what exactly, but that, my friends, is a biological cross between a sheep and a goat. Something that has come to be called by most people a geep, by others a shoat. The geep, the shoat, is a pretty rare creature in the natural world. But in the moral and ethical and spiritual world, in the world of righteousness, geep and shoats are everywhere. They're everywhere. I don't know about you, but I want to be a sheep. Try to be a sheep. But I'm not a sheep all the time. I'm not even sure I'm a sheep most of the time. Sometimes, a lot of times, I'm a goat. So where do we go? I don't know anyone who's a sheep or a goat all of the time. So where do the geep and the shoats go? Doesn't seem quite so simple, does it? But then again, neither is Jesus' story, really. See, one of the things that the story reflects is the time and the context it was written in. Matthew's gospel was written somewhere between 50 and 60 years after Jesus' death. And like all of the gospels, it reflects both the reality or some of the realities of Jesus' time, but also some of the realities of the time it was written in. And in the time Matthew's gospel was written in, the early Christian community was attempting to establish itself, to gain an identity in lands in which it was responded to with anything from indifference to hostility. And what groups have often done historically when they are trying to establish themselves, when they are trying to gain that sense of identity, especially in contexts where they're not accepted, where they're the least in terms of the groups that they are surrounded by, is to, for better or worse, portray themselves, even convince themselves that they're better, that they're intellectually or physically or, in this case, morally, ethically, and spiritually superior to the groups around them. Hence the absoluteness of sheep and goats, of one group being in, the other being out, one right with God and the other condemned. But far more importantly, the story also reflects how Jesus is not quite so simple. This story is an example of Jesus as what we would call a spiritual teacher. And as a spiritual teacher, Jesus tells a lot of stories in the Gospels. Some of them are meant to be ambiguous, open-ended. That's usually the parables. But other stories are more like this one. They are straightforward. They deal in absolutes. But those absolutes are meant to be models, archetypes, ideals that we are called by God to aspire to. But again, Jesus is not just a spiritual teacher. Jesus is also in many places a spiritual guide, companion. And as a spiritual guide and companion, time after time we see a different side. Jesus, a Jesus who doesn't deal in those kinds of absolutes. A Jesus who in interactions with specific people clearly shows, recognizes that we're not cheap all the time. Recognizes, accepts, even forgives our failings, the times when we're not sheep. A Jesus who even recognizes that when it comes to figuring out the righteous thing to do, it's not always so simple. A Jesus who understands that a lot of the decisions and situations that we find ourselves in are not as clear as sheep and goats. We have decided to let our son go, she said. We have decided to let our son go, Connie Yates said just a few days ago. Her son, her and her partner, Chris Gard's son, Charlie Gard, was born 11 months ago with a disorder, with a disease that made it impossible for his cells to pull energy from his body. A rare disorder that left Charlie Gard almost from birth unable to breathe on his own, unable to move his arms and legs, suffering from frequent seizures and blind. Charlie would spend almost every day of his 11 months in a London hospital. A hospital that is part of a British medical system that is frequently considered to be among, if not the best, in the entire world. Not long ago, that hospital determined that there was nothing more that they could do for Charlie. And they encouraged Charlie's parents to take him off life support. The parents understandably resisted and instead fought to have Charlie brought to the United States for an experimental therapy that had never been tried on a human with Charlie's disorder. A therapy that the physicians who were going to administer it very candidly did not think would cure Charlie, but could possibly make things better. The London hospital and the courts resisted, and by the time, as the battle between them continued, things got to a point where Charlie's parents realized that the time had passed for even the experimental therapy to have any chance of doing anything. And thus, Connie Yates said those heartbreaking words a few days ago, "We have decided to let our son go." Many were quick. Many were quick to separate everyone involved in the sheep and goats. Mostly seeing Charlie's parents as sheep, in the hospital, in the courts, as goats. Among them were Pope Francis and President Trump and nearly 500,000 people who signed an online petition. Charlie's parents understandably simply wanted to keep their son alive. They held hope, as any parent would, that he might get better. And even if he didn't, they felt that by undergoing the experimental therapy, it might at least help the medical community better understand Charlie's disorder for those who might have it in the future. The hospital and the courts, on the other hand, argued that, yes, the experimental therapy might keep Charlie alive, but that even in a best-case scenario, he would still be blind, he would still be largely immobile, and that the brain damage he had already suffered was completely irreversible, no matter what. He would still spend the rest of his life in consistent pain. Their point, their view, was that it would be inhumane to keep Charlie alive under those circumstances. A standard of aliveness that most people would not accept for a pet, let alone a human being. And as for the possibility of the experimental therapy, at least at the very least, helping the medical community understand Charlie's disorder a little bit better, the hospital and the courts countered, well, yes, that may be true, but is that justification for treating a child like a lab rat? So were there really any sheep and goats in Charlie Gard's story? Or were there simply people and institutions trying their very best to be sheep, trying not to be goats, but in a situation in which that was impossible? A situation in which there was no other option than to be Geep or Schultz. And yeah, that's an extreme example. It's not the norm when it comes to the scenarios that we have to determine what the righteous thing to do is. But my sense is that we're probably put in situations where that's the case maybe more often than we think. That maybe a lot, if not most, of our decisions about the righteous thing to do when it comes to how we treat the least in the world are those crosses between sheep and goats. Geep situations, Schultz situations. And if that's the case, then what do we do? Perhaps our best path is a spiritual perspective that is itself a Geep, a Schultz. A spiritual perspective that is a cross or a synthesis between Jesus, the spiritual teacher of the story in Matthew, that provides us with this ideal, this model that we should at least aspire to, a cross between that and what we get from Jesus, the spiritual guide and companion. A cross between the model, the ideal that we should aspire to, and the recognition and compassion that goes with understanding that things are not so simple in our day-to-day life. The recognition that we're going to fall short. The recognition that sometimes there are just situations in which being a sheep is impossible. situations like Charlie Guard's in which perhaps being either a sheep or a goat is impossible. Recognizing, as Jesus did, that we're called to do our best. But even Jesus didn't feed all of the hungry he encountered in his life. He didn't heal all of the sick that he encountered in his life. And neither can we. So where do we go? Where do the geep and the shouts go? Where do I go? Where do you go? Not to Jesus' right, not to Jesus' left. Maybe our best bet is to just go with Jesus and let him help guide us to do the best that we can. Amen.